Our big interview today focuses on the proclamation of the 27th of October as the date for the local government elections. That was the pronouncement made by the Minister of Local Government and Traditional Affairs yesterday, pending, of course, that constitutional court application by the IEC to have the elections postponed to February. The minister explained yesterday that this process is only being undertaken to fulfill her constitutional obligations and to also make the court process by the IEC easy. Remember, the Electoral Commission accepted the recommendations of a panel headed by retired Deputy Chief Justice Dikgang Moseneke to postpone the polls to next year, when the health risks associated with COVID-19 would have likely subsided due to the widespread vaccination. Let's speak to Obed Bapelana, who's the Deputy Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. Mr. Bapela, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it on the show. When do you expect the IEC to approach the Constitutional Court with this urgent application?
Good morning, Clement Manyathela, and the listeners of Radio 2. Thank you very much for inviting us. The IEC will be updating the nation today in their press conference on the likelihood of them approaching the court. And I think the details will then be presented to the nation by the IEC during the course of the day.
I imagine, as government, having consulted with your legal team, you have assessed the implications of this declaration on the IEC and the processes that they are constitutionally obligated to carry out once the date is set. What are they? Do they continue preparing as if elections will take place until the Constitutional Court gives the green light for postponement?
Well, obviously, we had to look at the legal advice and what the Constitution says. And as everybody will know, that the date of the term of the current councillors that are serving ended on the 2nd of August, because the last elections for local government were held on the 2nd of August in 2016. So today we are extra 2 days into the 90 days that is stipulated in the Constitution, that soon after the expiry date, the elections must be held within 90 days. And therefore, the councillors that are there are having a grace until the 27th of October, which then is within the 90 days period. And that's what the Constitution does say. And anything beyond, obviously, it ought to then be looked at by the courts. And whatever the courts are going to be saying will then take it from there. The IEC, obviously, as a body that is running the elections, they want to see the regularity of the elections as the Constitution dictates. However, they also have to make sure that these elections are free and fair. And then I think the issue of the free and fair of the elections arises in the report by the retired judge, Deputy Chief Justice Moseneke, who has already concluded on a report adopted by the IEC, as we have already said. And then the reasons are then therefore giving in details. And those are the reasons that will be submitted to court by the IEC.
Do you think that there's a strong case, though, to make to the Constitutional Court why February will be conducive to hold free and fair elections? We're dealing with a virus that's constantly mutating. Even if we speed up our vaccination drive, there's no guarantee that we won't have a rise in infections in Feb that may necessitate some restrictions that may then be a hindrance to elections being held and being held in a free and fair manner.
Well, the drafters of the Constitution, when it was adopted in 1996, didn't know that there would be such a pandemic globally. The last pandemic of this magnitude happened in 1918 to 1920, called the Spanish flu. And therefore, this pandemic is a very devastating. The infection rate is high. People are dying. It's disrupting life now and then with the lockdown regulations that every country assesses as to whether to close or not to close and what to close, how to save life, but at the same time, how to protect livelihoods. And campaigns by in their own nature means the parties must be allowed to canvass their candidates freely. They need to go into the community, do door-to-door, do rallies, do meetings, And then those events can be super spreaders themselves because of the nature of the disease. And indeed, the vaccine rollout is quite encouraging, but as you say, there's no foolproof that you may not get it. However, science is already indicating that to some extent it does protect life. To some extent, you end up not being in hospital. However, the mutation element of it is very difficult to predict. Therefore, that February, it's an ideal date, and because we are only postponing elections by 4 months from October to February, we can't continuously, obviously, have a situation where there's no elections. But other countries have had elections under these very same circumstances, but South Africa's rate of infection was higher than if you look at what is happening in Zambia.
Yeah.
They are having elections very soon. Ethiopia had elections during the COVID period, but their numbers were not as high as in South Africa. So those will then be issues that will dictate the health and the science information will help.
What happens if the IEC doesn't succeed in convincing the Constitutional Court? You don't have the powers to postpone elections. So do you then go with the parliamentary process?
Well, we don't have the power to postpone. And if the court decides that, no, the elections goes on, the IEC must just do its best to then prepare. I know that they postponed the voter registration in July because of the lockdown level 4. But if there's any lockdown level 4 that prohibits political gatherings or meetings except funerals, it means political parties will then be disadvantaged in that particular environment. So obviously there are pros and cons in the environment. We just wish and hope, therefore, that the situation will improve. It's choosing between the hard surface and the rock. Where do you want to fall? But I think that's the circumstance. It's a COVID pandemic. It's beyond human control for now. And then it will then dictate whether these elections do happen free and fair or not.
Yeah, but the parliamentary process is not desirable, is it? Because that may take a while, and you have political parties there that are not on the same page on this particular issue. So getting them to agree as well, to lend the vote in support of constitutional changes may also prove to be another hurdle.
Well, it can be a hurdle, but in the nature of parliament also, parties get persuaded, there's lobbying amongst them, they will engage and discuss and look at the science and the health situation and whether this election will be free and fair. Then it obviously depends on the majority of those who say it's less postponed, but in the constitutional amendment, if the court at the end says, for us to postpone, we agree with you, but there must be a clause insertion in the constitution that says because of the calamity, because of the pandemic, therefore we give you only this clause and can only be used in the future if such pandemic proportions do happen. But we leave it to the parties. But I think South Africans will find each other at some point. But yes, now political parties are divided.
Can we use this moment, this as a moment of reflection, Deputy Minister? Why hasn't the voting process still not been modified? We could be having options now catered for in our elections framework, right? To either to vote electronically, maybe via postal, and realize the constitutional rights that we as citizens have to change governments as planned, even in a crisis like the pandemic we're facing now.
Well, look, yeah, the discussions are going on to change the Electoral Act, and it's a process from the Constitutional Court decision that also we are taking into cognizance the technology and the use of technology to have to move towards an e-elections type of an environment. But all this adaptation takes time, the changes take time, but even if we may arrive at the decision, the country is not yet ready to move everybody into the digital vote because the infrastructure in the rural areas is still lacking. The infrastructure in the township is still lacking. You can see it with education now. When children don't have to go to school, those in the urban, but the suburb urban, do go to school through online. And then the township schools, they are just playing on the street because the access to technology is still not yet as easy. The infrastructure is not covering. There's still a digital divide in South Africa. So you'll be excluding a number of citizens, millions of citizens from not participating. difficult. Yeah.
So who's to blame for that, Deputy Minister? Aren't those the failures of our government? Because, I mean, it's inevitable that at some point we will face crises, right? As the globe, as countries, maybe a crisis that may be exclusive to a particular country. So these other options of voting are so critical. And you are mentioning there some of the hindrances. But the reason that we're sitting here where in other communities, they're unable to access the internet. In other communities, schools are unable to continue with learning during a pandemic because they don't have resources. Those are the failures of government.
Well, I wouldn't say yes to some extent, but not totally. Because, I mean, development takes a process, takes time, and then also the money to then ensure that everybody is connected. It's a process on its own. Remember, when in 1994 the ANC took government, the electricity access to the homes was just at 40%, and it took us almost 15 years to 20 years to push it to 85% as the case. Access to water, there's still a few percentage of households that do not have it. So now with the technology, it comes the instant now and then the later version of now moving the world towards a technological advance. The fourth industrial revolution was just launched 5 years ago. Now we're modeling and adapting our policy towards this particular issue. So it's a combination of factors and not just the failure of government.
Is there political will, though? Because that process is a bit slow, Deputy Minister, and I appreciate that it will take long. You've mentioned that money is another factor, and with all due respect, the money is there. It's just that it's been stolen. I can think of many times that the amount of money that's been looted, if we put it all together, I can guarantee at least we can have about 5 communities that are set up and have the infrastructure set up to allow them to be connected and have access to resources and have access to the internet. But your colleagues at government are busy stealing money that could be used for these projects.
Look, yeah, I mean, we can't condone corruption. It has to be condemned by all means. And where there's evidence, we need to act against those particular individuals. And indeed, I mean, so much money has leaked out of the system. And I think when you look at the Auditor General report, they just give you a glaring picture of what is happening. But others, obviously, those who are stealing money out of the system and enriching themselves. Then the process of the law sometimes takes forever because the right of the person to be represented in court, the right to be charged, evidence must be collected. All those things are processed. And at some point, obviously, the weakness in the security cluster was an element issued to the country. But I think the President Ramaphosa now has really solidified and is giving more money to the learner to really deal with corruption. You're right that if money was not stolen, we could be achieving a lot of things in the society, not just only on communication networks, but human settlement, houses, the sprawling informal settlements that are all over, and then really, you know, be making the lives of our people better. You're definitely spot on that issue. I can't defend it.
As we wrap up, Deputy Minister, there are municipalities that have been experiencing failures in their community. In fact, they've been failing community, right? Community members, they were counting on the upcoming local government elections to register their dissatisfaction. If the Constitutional Court agrees to a postponement, that means they need to put up with continued poor service delivery and corruption at local government. What do you say to such communities that really had their hope for October because they thought we are changing things because we've been disappointed, and now they have no choice if the Constitutional Court gives the green light to put up with poor service delivery and corruption?
Well, we are facing the situation as a nation of the pandemic that is killing our own people, our own neighbors, our own family members, and I think communities are going through pain as we speak now. They will then have to understand that it is really to save lives on one side, but secondly, we need to make sure that these elections are free and fair, and then also protect their livelihoods. And it's just a 4 months, if it's granted by the courts, of an extension. with the hope, therefore, that vaccination will cover everybody. Thank you very much.
All right, Deputy Minister, I really appreciate your time. Obed Bapela, Deputy Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs.